I was so dumb, but I hopped on a plane, almost drove right back to the 541.
When was the last time you guys dressed up?
2 years ago.
Yeah, Ski's gonna, you're about to say like 25 years.
20 years ago, maybe? Something like that? Yeah.
You know what, man? I'm convinced you don't do stuff other than fish.
Not these fake fucking holidays.
Don't think Halloween's a fake holiday. I gotta be honest.
But you and your fucking Joe Biden pagan holidays. Yeah,
I mean, yeah. Just saying.
You,
it's
Taylor
not
Swift
Valentine's and... Day. It's a real holiday.
Well, quasi real.
Well said.
Maybe for
nice the... retort. You got me. I cannot come back from that one. Zing, zang. Well.
Oh, he dropped the elbow.
Oh,
the
man. Rope. No. There's no coming back from that one.
Ski, he's already dead. No.
Oh, man. Oh, please. Please.
Please, Rock. He's already dead.
Just restraint.
All right, we're gonna do a roll-in start here. Welcome to the podcast, everybody. I'm Alex at TSB Pod. He's King at Jeromny. He's Ski at TSB Ski. It would be a shame to not include that interaction because Ski's burn was so sick.
Oh,
it has
scorched earth.
It has to be on the internet. So tweet at one of those handles. We're still on Twitter. Also find us on Discord, Sports Brewery in the Discord. We stream live every Thursday or Wednesday, depending. twitch.tv/abrog87, ABRAWG87. Join the chat. It is a good time. See, Nuttian says we're lit. That's what the kids are saying, too. So
on God.
Big ups. Yeah. Also, we're on YouTube. I've been posting all the videos. If you missed those streams,
we are
find them on YouTube. Yeah, punch the bell, subscribe, like
right. Hit the like button.
The bell.
You punch the bell. That's what you do, right? That's how you, the notification thing on YouTube. Isn't that the thing? I don't know.
That's a little too close to ringing the bell if you survive cancer. I don't know if I'm comfortable with that one.
Okay. Okay. All right. You know what? Let's leave bells out of this. I was going to say, speaking of terminal illnesses, what's going on with Oregon football? No, but I'm not going to say that because that would be insensitive. Let's do start with the fact that Oregon again lost to Washington. And, you know, Duck fans again have to go a whole year knowing they really probably should have beat Washington, but didn't. And now you're going to have to live with that.
You said that, but I mean, there's a good chance in my eyes they play him again here. So
you're probably not wrong. Like the fact that there are not conferences or the divisions anymore means that there's a very good chance they're going to play each other because USC is going to lose again. You know why I know that? Because they're going to lose to Oregon. I know that's a fact.
I don't put it by this week playing Utah. I mean, Utah can barely score, but against that defense, they might actually be able to score.
Didn't Utah just get their ass handed to them by Cal?
No, you read the score the opposite way.
I was wrong.
Yeah.
Okay, my bad.
In your face.
Yeah, yeah.
Your face.
If there's one thing I know about me, it's that I do not watch football, and so I must have misread it somewhere. Yeah, you're probably right. But, again, it's this time at least it wasn't like an injury. Like, it was probably coaching mistakes, I think we can probably say, because you look at how Oregon played, you know, like 36 points is a lot. Against Washington, it might not be. So your defense holds them, quote unquote, to 36. You make enough plays. Look, dude, Penix was 22 of 37. That's really good. If
it wasn't
defense.
The defense.
You got you got an interception. I'll say they gave up 100 yards rushing to a guy for Washington, which is not a great look. But that said, 36 points.
But almost all of it was in the first half.
Yeah. That too. I'm cool with that. But
Go on. The tough part about the game is that the victors get to write the story. So Washington fans can say that they vastly superior program dominated the Ducks, blah, blah, blah. And on that note, on Sunday, I'm doing some housework. I put on the Audible, Stuart Mandel, Bruce Feldman, and they lead off with Stuart Mandel saying, not that confident in the Ducks going forward, but UW 2019-2020 LSU. And I'm like, okay, if you're gonna jump there, you got to give credit to the team that really was 3 yards away from not just winning. Oregon was 3 yards away from winning and holding Michael Penix under 250 yards passing and outgaining UW by almost 200 yards. Like, if they would have gotten 3 yards on fourth and three, the story would have been, the narrative would have been, dang, look at the stat sheet. How is Washington even that close? Oregon kind of dominated it. Oh my God, 600 yards to 450. Lead. Like, Oregon was 3 yards away from not just a win, but the narrative flipping an aggressive 180 degrees. And that's the frustrating part, is because when you watch that game, I'm probably a little loose with this. Oregon forced the UW defense or offense three and out on the first drive. And I think UW scored three straight possessions from there, right? I believe.
Each team did like a three and out on the first
drive. Yeah. And then UW was up 11, and then Oregon came back and scored twice in a row. But in the second half, just even when the game started and UW was rolling on offense, Oregon looked bigger. Oregon looked deeper. They were rotating. They were bigger. You could see the difference on the lines. And in the second half, it kind of bore itself out because that guy who was rushing for 75 yards in the first half didn't really do it in the second half. And in the second half, Oregon forced three straight empty possessions by Michael Penix. They hit him just enough, and it's really hard to hit him because they go 1-2-3 throw, 1-2-3 throw. This isn't Caleb Williams who runs around. This isn't Shedeur Sanders. It's 1-2-3 throw. They hit him enough to where he was wincing, and they said he had abdominal cramps. Like,
yeah, okay, yeah.
Like, yeah, yeah, wank, wank. And that's the frustrating part, because when I watch the game and when I just listen to, you know, national media people, Joel Klatt, you know, Colin Cowherd, whatever, they said the same thing I was thinking. Oregon is bigger on both lines. They're better on both lines. They're better on defense. They're more balanced. They're deeper. They're bigger. They're faster. But holy fuck, Oregon found a way to lose a fucking game.
Found a way, yep.
And again, before we get into the minutia, I've said this before. It's 3rd-and-2 from Washington's 48. And they give it to Jordan James. They never, ever, ever. I even went back and looked. There was no important possession that they have given the ball to a running back to Bucky Irving, except for last year in Pullman on 4th-and-2, they somehow hit him on like a 30-yard pass when they were down by double digits. Ever since then, it's been Noah Whittington or Jordan James against Washington and Oregon State. I don't understand He's your best running back by far. If you're going to run it, give him the fucking ball. And this whole thing, well, if he's in, they know they're going to run it. If Jordan James is in there, that's all they do is run him up the middle. And I'm not saying he's bad at football. He's not the best at that position on the team. No. And no one denies it.
Well, it was literally the play before. It looked like Bucky should have got tackled for no gain and plowed ahead to get to that 3rd-and-3 or 3rd-and-2, whatever it was. So what am I missing it? That was the play before, or was that
like in the possession? It was on that possession.
So Bucky was fantastic in the game, by the way. 22 carries, 127 yards, and a touchdown. James had 11 carries. By the way, that's the way it's supposed to be every game. Give Bucky the ball more. Give him the ball in key situations. I don't like the fact that they ran it on third. Frankly, You know what? I guess fine. I guess it'd be okay if they gave it to Bucky. I want the ball in Bo Nix's hands. Like, period. If there's a big series of plays where you need to get something, you need a first down, let Bo Nix do it. Like, in the fucking rollout on fourth down, I fucking hated that play call.
Well, on the rollout on the end of the first half, too.
You're bringing everybody to the same side, the defense all on the same side. It's fucking easy. You cut the field in half for the defense. What are you thinking? What are you thinking? But again, third down, I want the ball in Bo's hands, man. Read option. Fucking,
they don't use him. They don't use him as a runner. And I got it. In September, I got it. Even against Colorado, they didn't need it. They didn't need it against Stanford. But all of his runs, he had a couple of nice runs on Saturday against UW, but they weren't designed runs. And we're not asking for him to run 15 times a game. But come on, there's got to be some designed runs for him, because while he's good, he's not like the most purest of passer. Like, part of his skill set is that, oh, he's just going to run for 9 boring yards on this draw or this roll, you know. But yeah, I'm confused by Will Stein's passing tree, because it seems like it's either throw it deep or throw it to the line of scrimmage.
No, nothing in the middle of the field.
There's
literally
just a little 7-yard. The intermediate pass game is so non-existent.
Ferguson, 5-yard hook. Ferguson, it's very big guy.
It's just, I'm just confused, because I don't think Will Stein is doing a bad job. Like,
no,
that'd
I don't
be
either.
An overreaction. But we've all noticed it. But there's really no in between. It's just a chuck deep, or just kind of throwing at the line of scrimmage, or a yard in front of it, a yard behind it. It's bizarre.
See, my big problem with it is I don't know if it's fully Willie Cauley-Stein or if it's Lanny, because before the half and at the end of the game there, if he's not telling Stein, hey, we're going to be going for it on fourth down if it's close. Because that third down play, you don't run that third down play at the end of the game if you know you're going to go for it on fourth. That's a third down run punt play right there. And the same thing in the half. What was it? 3 straight just runs up the middle, and then that weird sprint out again like the end. If Stein knows you're going for a fourth down, I don't see how you call those plays. And I don't know if that's Lanning. That was my big concern. Lanning hasn't won a big road game yet. He seems to blow these games. Is that Lanning just like not talking to him enough, like during the sequence of the plays? Like, hey,
well, no,
you get a couple yards, they're going to go.
I think Will Stein knows they're going for it on every fourth down at this
point. He thinks he assumes they're going for it.
Every single one, right?
I mean, yeah. At this point, when are we ever going to assume a punt? It's got to be 4th and 8. Like,
yeah. But then if that's the case, then some of the worst play calls I've ever seen. It's so transparent. Like, I think, Braga, you said it too when we were talking, like, watching the game. It's like everyone in the fucking world knew that ball was getting run up the middle on that 3rd and 2.
Yeah, and it's mostly because they didn't disguise it. Like, everybody was bunched in on offense. They just ran the ball up the middle. By the way, like, Nuttian brings up a good point, too. Running up the middle behind Jackson Powers Johnson, who was hurt.
Hurt, also,
That's your plan. Okay. All right,
but again,
man.
If Lanning's whole thing is he wants to be aggressive. He wants to win the game, like, right there. Then why such passive calls? If you want to try to win that game, you call a more exotic play on that 3rd down. You, like you said, you call that read option and Nick's is untouched going to the outside.
Oh God. You play action. Everybody on Washington's defense.
Play action pass, and guaranteed someone is open somewhere. It's smoke and mirrors right now of Lanning. He's saying all the things, you know, to keep the fans and like all the media and everything. Like, oh, we're aggressive. To be fucking aggressive. A run up the middle on 3rd and short when everyone knows it's coming is not an aggressive play call.
In fairness, they ran it so UW would have to call their last time out.
But you do that if you're punting, not trying to win.
No, because if they would have gotten a first down or fourth down, the game's over.
Well, again, that sort of goes
I'm just saying, if they would have thrown the ball on 3rd and 2 and it's incomplete, UW now has a timeout still.
But if your plan is to go for it and convert anyways, then they're done anyways. So if the goal in the end is to get a first down, get a fucking first down. Like, I don't care how you do it. Just like, get it.
That you know, go back a couple years. That same scenario with Mario Cristobal. They call that exact same play, but he punts it there. That's the difference. I think Cristobal would punt that ball.
Well, he didn't against Stanford.
Against Stanford, they didn't.
Oh, see, my thing, fourth down.
2 weeks in a row at the Stanford, let's not do that.
But see, I actually, do you guys have a problem with them going for it on fourth down at the end?
No. Like I said, I was just upset with the play calls.
Okay.
I did not like either of them. Was my
yeah, I like the decision. The play call and the execution is what gets me. Yeah. I know it's so in fashion now to be like, oh, Dan Lanning's a fucking moron and blah, blah, blah. The only one, in my opinion, you can get on him for was the one before half. Because you stole a possession. You stole it. UW, you thought you had them and maybe they're going to punt it. Oh, shit. They get that fourth down conversion that maybe was incomplete, but it doesn't matter. Penix throws a pick the next play. You have stolen a possession. Just get three. You're getting the ball back. And even if it's just 3 and 3, and I agree, threes, in theory, not beating Washington. Would they last Saturday have? Yeah, it would have. But yeah. In real time, I kind of get it. But you got to kick that field goal. You stole a possession, and you're getting the ball back. If UW was getting it to begin the second half, okay, I can maybe see why you're like, well, we're now down a possession or equal a possession. We got to steal four more points. That is the only one that I was really upset with, because it was just like, dude, just kick the three. Just take the three. Just please. It's just 3 points. You're still going down at half. But you're not winning the game with that touchdown either. So just
and again,
I agree. The difference there is points, like to me, because you have the opportunity to take points going to halftime, and again, points. With the other one, you're punting. Yes, you could be backing them up. Yes, that's fine. But they're trying to win the game. You don't expect to give up two straight pass plays for a touchdown. Like the way your defense has been playing, you don't expect that to happen. But sure enough.
And Evan Williams on that first pass. Oh, if you just turn your head around.
Oh, yeah, he picks it off.
Oh, that.
Yeah.
It almost felt like that first game against Auburn and Bo Nix. He threw that ball.
And Verone McKinley never turned his head.
It wasn't a safety over the top, which is worse. But yeah, it's like just try to find the ball and it's.
Yeah.
50-50, you pick that.
Anybody else?
And Evan Williams has been very good this year. So I'm not, I don't want to cast aspersions. But man, if you look at that, you know, from your couch, if you look at that replay, man, if he just turns his head, it's at least incomplete.
I said pick. When he threw the ball, I said, oh, it's pick. Yeah. I was like, he's in perfect position to intercept that. And he just never turns around. It's unbelievable.
And isn't that brutal that two straight years a Williams brother has been burnt? And there was a whole article, Tyson Alger, did you guys see that? Wrote a whole article this week about how Bennett Williams said he had that fucking ball. And then about a second and a half before he leapt, he realized, fuck, he's a lefty and the ball is spinning away from me. Shit. Because if he was a righty, I'm right there.
Fucking physics, man. Fucking physics. I know, right? Physics is beating Oregon. Jeez.
And the whole, but the game was so frustrating because. I think I walked away from it going, Oregon's better.
So let's say neutral site Pac-12 championship. You put the Ducks favored, right?
Oh, Oregon would be favored. Not by much, but they'd be favored.
You brought up, you know, all the talking heads, you know, the winner, you spin it to the winner's side, you know.
Absolutely.
How everyone's done it. But I if you look at the polls, I think they realize that the Ducks are good. And that was the game they could and should have won, but they didn't drop in the polls very far. If the Ducks win that game, I think Huskies might fall out of top to 10, maybe even right outside of it.
Maybe. Yeah, the game was so close, man. I don't know. And you know, like, credit where it's due. Like, yes, Oregon fucked up on the third and fourth down plays, but Washington did score immediately. And Odunze is really good. And their offense is really good, and they stepped up when they needed to and made plays, man. Like you got to give them credit. Like yes, we can talk shit on Oregon all day, and we probably should, but like Washington is good.
What was that? Was that 3rd and 20 that he like gets hit and gets the first down? Like I think it was the second to last possession, maybe. that, like, I was just like, fuck, that's the ones you just need, that one fucking play right there.
Another one they could have used is when Bo Nix tried to force it to Franklin in the corner and had Holden walking alone in the middle of the field on fourth down. Yeah, that one too would have been nice. Yeah.
Yeah, that was a walking touchdown by Holden.
Easy. Yeah. I noticed it too, like right when the play happened. I was like,
like even on the last fourth down, people are circling videos of Franklin opening kind of the same way Holden was, wide open. But I think it was Jeff Schwartz who gets, like, instantly the coaches give him all 22 videos.
Yeah.
He was like, nope, talk to the coaches. Troy Franklin was just a decoy the whole time, which he said made a rollout even fucking dumber. So he wasn't even saying it like, oh, it's, no, he's like, ah, nope, that's dumb.
Troy Franklin should never be a decoy ever. And you know what? Like, even on the play where Holden was wide open, I'm like, you know what? If he's going to stare down a guy, it might as well be one of the best receivers in the country. Like, I'm okay with him trying to force balls to Franklin. Like, that's fine. But also, touchdown.
Well, he kind of seemed like a decoy in the first half. He didn't get a lot of action.
If we want to take moral victories out of this game, the Oregon defense knocked UW out of the number one total offense spot in the nation. And guess who is now the number one total offense in the nation? Oregon.
Good job, defense.
Yeah.
I can't hate him. And I mean, those guys were put in man coverage scenarios the whole game.
Well, and that's the thing is,
with both of your starting corners injured,
they got hurt at one point
on the same play. Yeah,
I felt bad for Bridges on that last drive because that's red meat.
Yeah,
I mean, everyone says Bo Nix is old, and he is, but Michael Penix was playing college football while Bo Nix was still in high school. So Penix is really old, and he's gonna pick on the guy that he's seen as a third or second string guy automatically at the end every single time, especially because Oregon's playing man. And I saw some people grumble about that. And
no, the first team to actually get pressure on Penix.
Yeah.
You have to take dealing with man coverage to get him not just sitting in the pocket, because you could drop fucking eight guys. If you give him time, he'll find a guy every time.
Right,
you
have to get him. It's like this week against Wazoo, Oregon can rush three or four and just drop back like the last UCLA and Arizona have. They'll be fine. They're going to do very well. Michael Penix on a zone just with 5 seconds, 6 seconds, it's just not going to work out well. So I never had a problem with it.
Mm-mm.
And if last year, maybe I'm wrong, I probably didn't pay enough attention. I feel like they weren't playing him on an island last year because it was just Christian Gonzalez and not a lot else in the secondary.
They were dropping they were dropping DBs back 12 yards if it wasn't Gonzo.
And that's the thing is, the defense played so well. Like, the first half, like we said, listen, got to give UW credit. They came down and scored 21 points real quick, whatever it was. And man, if Dorless would have just knocked down that 2-point conversion or picked it up. God damn. But the second half, they played really well. They played really well. But like I said, the victors get to write the story. So Oregon fucking sucks. And like I saw on Twitter today, apparently UW's been a better program for Oregon than Oregon for the last 8 years. So if you win the game, you get to say that. You get credit. You take out the three straight years where Oregon went to the Pac-12 championship game, won a Rose Bowl, and UW hasn't won a Rose Bowl since Bill Clinton was office. But if you win the game, you get to say that bullshit. So we got to eat it again.
Well,
again.
But here, at least, like I said, it's setting up. You go crystal ball here right now. You got to think Oregon wins out, they're in the playoffs.
Well, if Oregon wins out, they're in the playoffs.
The question is, does Washington make it as well, with their lone loss being in the championship game? You put two packed, because if it gets to the point where both teams have one loss against each other, it's the one team that won neutral and the one team that only won at home. That's the
right. I did hear Dave Bartu today. You guys familiar with Dave Bartu?
I'm not.
the College Football Matrix on Twitter. He's a big analytics guy. He said if Washington goes to Vegas 12-0 and Oregon goes 11-1 and Oregon beats UW, only Oregon is going to go to the playoff because he has his own analytics thing that he says. And I'm like, come on, man. Like, he was like, it's not possible. Pac-12 can't get two. I'm like, TCU lost to Kansas State. And then last year, they still went. Like, when I watch that game, I'm not, you know, it's so early, like, saying who's going to win a national title. That shit's dumb. Like, I've watched Florida State. Are they really? Do you think Jordan Travis is better than Penix or Nix?
No.
I mean, can you tell me that their coach is any better? Like, I'm not, he might be, I don't know. But some of these teams that are up high, it's like, well, now they're high. So as long as they keep winning, they're just going to keep them there. But if Florida State loses, if they finish regular season 10-2, they lose to Clemson and Florida, would you be shocked?
Not at all.
Still a good team. Still a really good team. And we're projecting, I'm projecting way too far out there. But for like Dave Bar 2 to be like, nope, no chance. No chance that a two-pack, you know, it's like, okay. Like, all right.
There's been a lot of that this year, hasn't there? Like a lot of national guys just like, I know that it's not like it's a new thing, but it feels like there's been more of them just like spitting wild hyperbole. Like just over and over again, it's been wild. Like, well, I mean, obviously, like the big thing has been Dion and Colorado and whatnot, and like, but it's not just that. It's like, you know, people like, yes, Dan Lanning made some questionable decisions, but like people saying Dan Lanning is like reckless and he's the reason Oregon's never going to be good. And like,
did you see Pat Forty's article?
Slow down, bro. Like, slow down.
Did you see Pat Forty's article on Dan Lanning?
No. What did he say?
Are you familiar with Pat Forty?
I, of course, am.
Yes. Yeah.
Yeah.
He called him the dumb fourth down doofus. That was the headline. And within like his enormous article, dumb doofus, dead brain. Every D word to call someone dumb, he kept. And I'm halfway through, I'm like, okay, man.
Dance
like,
around this the word is, dumb.
Yeah. This is feeling a little personal at this point. Like, why are you calling him dead brained? Like, you could disagree with the call, but.
Settle down, my guy.
Yeah, it was a little much. It was a little much. Because like, none of the calls were as controversial, except for maybe the one thing on the first half. As going forward at your own 31 or whatever it was last year against UW.
Yeah.
That one? Okay. Some of these other ones, and you know, the whole analytics thing annoys me to a degree too, as on the other side, is because people who are very in on analytics, they can't lose. Because hey, the chart said.
Yeah, it's go. Math. Yeah.
Hey, the number said. And so I'm sitting there all Saturday and Sunday reading stuff, you know, about the dumb dead brain doofus and blah blah blah. And then I'm watching Giants and Bills. And the Bills score late and they kick an extra point. And Twitter is going, why didn't they go for two? Why didn't they go for two? Why didn't they go for two? And in my head, I'm going, it's like I fucking Tyrod Taylor at quarterback. Like, yeah. Whatever. And like 2 minutes later, I see from ESPN Stats and Info and some other account, I cannot remember. This is the one that really bugged me. Is he went, unbelievable. Our chart said the Bills had to go for two there. Their win probability switched from 50.5 to 50% by only going for one.
Unbelievable.
Unbelievable. Oh, their win per like at a certain point, math nerds, like I don't know what the number has to be. Is it 3%? Is it 4? Because obviously if you go to 10, that's a big flip. A half a percent.
Right.
And that's not something to get mad about. And that's kind of some of the landing stuff is it's. Analytics, man, like just tone it down a little bit.
It's also human of knowing who you're playing. Like you said, yeah. The Bills, it's Tyrod Taylor. You're not worried about Tyrod. But guess what? For Lanning, it's the Huskies and Penix, and you are worried about your defense on the field needing to hold with 2 minutes left to give up. So that makes sense to go for it there. If this was against Stanford, You pump the ball, you make him go.
Yeah, exactly.
These are opposite ends of the spectrum. This is like, you got the landing stuff and what he did against Washington, then you got like Brandon Staley on the other side, right? Where it's like the shit Brandon Staley does doesn't make sense to anyone. Like there are analytics people on his staff who tell him to do the things that he does, but like most people with half a brain are like, well, that was, why are you going for it on your own 25-yard line? Like, that's dumb. Like you just gave the team points right away. So, but Lanning going for it, trying to take a win, he's not even going for points, man. He gets a first down, the game's over. That's it. Like, that's
right.
Midfield. And I get it.
I will always support going for the kill shot there.
Yes.
If that was fourth
that's a huge difference.
If that's fourth and eight at their 47 or whatever, yeah, you got to pump that ball away.
Yeah.
Fourth and three, if you can mathematically end it, and they would have because he's taking a knee, unlike Mario, but I'm fine with that. I can totally live with that. Same with Mario in 2018 against Stanford. A little different, but he was going for the kill shot on fourth and two. Verdell fumbled.
Yeah.
Sucks for them. I'm fine with that. And I don't want the opposite of, I don't want to watch Iowa football.
No.
And generally, I don't want to watch Mario Cristobal football either for that. You know, you're aggressive. And I believe last year I charted it that to begin the year up until the UCLA game, Lanning was 8 for 8 on fourth down, like decisions. And it's gone the other way. They are 0 for their last 9 against Washington twice and Oregon State. 0 for 9. Like, that is almost impossible because I don't think they've gone for a fourth down. I think one was the 3 yards on Saturday to end the game, and everyone else, all the other 8 ones were 1 yard or 2 yard. So mathematically it's there. The play calls can leave something to be desired. And hey, if you're going to run the ball on fourth and one, put in Bucky.
Yeah. Right.
It's just, I would love
just as someone ask that question to Lanning, is why is Bucky not in on the important runs?
I'm shocked James Krepke hasn't asked.
I want to know if there's probably some bullshit analytic thing, or because it's not like James is like huge.
Well, I know they said last year against Oregon State, I can't remember if James got 2 carries or 3 straight carries when OSU held him at the goal line at the end.
Yeah.
But they said, Lanning said, he's our thumper. He's our big guy. He's not
Bucky big. Chen
tackles really well. I don't. Yeah. Again, hey, we're not making $5.5 million to make those decisions, but I feel like you give it to your best running back.
Jordan James. Let me say it plain. Jordan James is not big.
He's a thumper, though.
No, Jordan James is not a thumper. I am so fucking sick of hearing about Jordan James being the big back. He is tiny.
He did have that nice running, that nice touchdown against UW.
I love Jordan James, but he is not a big back.
they talk about him like he's
he's LeGarrette Blount.
He's LeGarrette Blount, exactly.
I was gonna say Mike Alstott.
Yeah,
they think it's more dumb than Mike Alstott
Chris Matufala, Atafalo, or whatever that guy's name was.
Fumatu Matufala.
Yes, like that's what they talk to him as, and it's right. Like he just weighs 210. Like he's not actually enormous.
No, see, look, what do your Niners do? Do they not give to McCaffrey on the goal line? No, they give it to him every fucking play, and he's not big. They got big thumpers in there if they want it too. Just because it's hard to tack, because those shifty guys like Bucky and McCaffrey, they just need a little crease to find, and they just like find a way to slip through it and get that 2 yards or whatever it is.
LaMichael had that too, by the way. Like LaMichael was so good at getting 1 or 2 yards. He would find a crease and dive his helmet for it and get it every fucking time.
Because you don't need to be a fucking thumper, especially when you're 5'8", 190 like James. But knowing how to run the football, that's what Bucky is a lot better at. I would love to know the stats of just plays that should be, you know, stopped for nothing or a very short gain, the yard differential that Bucky gets compared to James, because it's vast.
Incredible fun running back to watch. We should move on, because
yes,
we have been talking a very long time about this game.
Is anyone going to bring up fucking Cam? Could we officially?
Oh, yes.
Are you on Cam? Are you off?
I didn't even want to do it. I was so fucking furious. All through my head when they went for the field goal was Brog going, oh, I love Camden Lewis. Yeah, why are you guys afraid of Camden Lewis ever missing a kick? He's automatic. You can't put the C in automatic without Camden Lewis.
I think it was like, because he made a field goal like pretty quick, like right before that, right? And I put Cash Cam in the Discord, and then
Camden Lewis.
When he came up to kick that last field goal, I was like, fuck. I know exactly what's about to happen, and it's my fault. You know what, Oregon fan? It's my fault for believing in him for so long. When all the evidence and everybody else was against me, I put that out there. Some of you listened. Some of you were like, oh, maybe he's not that bad. You know, he hasn't missed a kick this year. Okay, I guess I believe in him. That's on me. You know, that's on me, guys, because I'll tell you what, when he went up to kick that field goal, I didn't believe in him.
No.
I was like, oh no. Oh, this is going
to also before we move on, because we do have to move on. That Terrence Ferguson catch where he faked an injury. If he didn't fall down, does he get 10 more yards really easily?
Score.
Or more?
Just keep running.
Yeah.
Okay,
score.
Okay. All right. I just was wondering if I saw what I thought I saw.
I was like, you better fucking be hurt, because if you're faking an injury when you could have just stiff-armed a guy and scored, you fucking idiot. I might have thought that and not actually said it. But.
I saw that Lanning said, again, we're moving on after this, yeah. But Lanning said that he told the players that in that kind of situation, if you catch the ball, fall down, like you go down, because we don't want our last time out to be wasted before the field goal. I'm like, okay, that does make some sense, but
it's college.
But it's you gotta college. Catch the ball and go. Like,
yes,
just
it's
go.
College. The clock stops. It doesn't eat up that much time if you get up and go. Spike, you get to go spike it, clock it if you need to. You want to save.
Said
that
he wanted two more chances at the end zone. So you know, whatever. It's coach speak, but
that's another one of those. Yeah. That's another one of those plays though that is very close that Oregon could have made and did not make, and that is why they lost. And that's when you lost. Oh. Souls of Mischief. Anybody else know that one? All right.
Is it just take one big win on the road for Lanning to break this kind of run he's got going?
Yeah, one.
I know King's
nice.
Gonna say you can't go to Lubbock and expect to win, but yeah. I mean against good teams.
Yes, if they win at Utah, whatever.
Yeah.
All right, let's move on to something else. By the way, movie I forgot to mention at the start of the podcast this Sunday is Renfield. It is on Amazon Prime. It is our seventh. Did I say seventh? Yes, our seventh Nick Cage movie that we have watched for our podcast. Renfield, Amazon Prime. Watch it. Listen to us talk about it Sunday. So you did mention my 49ers.
Hey, Alex.
Yeah, go ahead.
Do you know what Tom Landry used to say about week 7 of fantasy football?
You can't win it, but you sure can lose it.
That's right. You can't win fantasy football in week 7, but you sure can lose it. Look at you. You're catching on. Unless you're Ben. Ben, you're 0-6. Please stop trying. You're done. The dub train, as he's dubbed himself, known as Vonsville. Vaughn, our resident Cougar fan, keeps chugging along at 6-0. Hey, Vaughn, enjoy it, because the Cougs are about to drop their third straight. If fantasy football was real life, Mahomes alone wouldn't be 6-0 either. You want to know why? Patrick Mahomes? Overrated.
Oh, yeah.
I'm saying it. Put it out there.
Big if true.
Overrated.
Big if true.
Oh, I checked the score an hour ago. I'm already down 22-0 to Tony Express to Digstown. I'm 2-4. My season is over. Alex named his team after Brock Purdy. Hey, Alex, Who are you rooting for in the 2021 Fiesta Bowl? Interesting. I don't think it was Oregon.
Big Breece Hall guy.
Charles in Phoenix, 1-5. Check the score. Should be 1-6. Will be 0-7. Ice cold. Good thing, Charles, you live in Scottsdale. Justin Fields, my starting quarterback. I hate him. And those are your TSBFFL Week 7 updates.
WCP says he's up 45.96 points on you right now.
Nah, I don't want to hear it. Justin Fields, I hate him.
All right, so NFL, you mentioned the 49ers and McCaffrey earlier. So this was one of those weeks where it's like you're reminded that it is the NFL and that really seriously, truly, any team can sort of beat any team at any point. So the Jets beating the Eagles is one, and then the Browns beating the 49ers is another. And watching that 49ers game was like torture. They like Brock Purdy was awful in that football game. That is by far the worst he has played in the NFL since he started playing when Jimmy G got hurt. He like had overthrows. Like he had a nice last drive to get them in field goal position that they missed again. Both of my teams lost because a kicker missed a field goal wide right at the end of the game. Like, do with that information what you will. But he was really bad, and then McCaffrey got hurt. Debo got hurt on like the first play of the game. Apparently Debo took like a helmet to the shoulder and just as the game was going on kept losing feeling in his arm, which I'm told is not a good thing. And so it's NFL shit, man. Any team can beat any team. You have injuries, you have like guys playing like shit all of a sudden, and you're gonna lose. That happened to my team. That happened to your team, King, week one. Like, Kelsey wasn't there. You didn't have Chris Jones yet. You fucking
Football
lost.
Happens, man.
You fucking lost, yeah. It's the NFL. It's not are college.
You,
teams lose.
Are you ready to not crown Purdy as a Hall of Famer now when, oh, he just loses three All-Pros?
I mean, can I just say that, A, it was raining in the first half, mm-hmm. and, B, the Browns are somehow on like a historical pace of defense this year.
They are very good.
I know Myles Garrett's great. I they have like a Denzel Ward. I don't know who else is on their defense.
You know how I learned that? He threw Trent Williams around in that game. Like Trent Williams is a bad dude. Like we all know about Trent Williams. He tossed him around. I've never seen that before, man. That dude is really good at football. Hashtag analysis.
No, but, what was I going to say? I can't remember what I was going to say.
Well said.
Another wicked
I lost
burn.
I lost my thought process.
Wicked burns from Ski this entire podcast.
I'm just saying. I agree.
I remembered. Does Purdy just have, does he have small hands?
Carney folk, small
see,
hands.
Because the King was saying it was kind of raining in that first half.
Yeah,
it looked like he could barely throw a football.
It did. And I think that might just be because he was bad. No, you're right though. You're right though. But the rain wasn't affecting PJ Walker. No, it was. He wasn't good either.
what was Justin
Houston?
Herbert
oh God, who did he play for? The Houston.
Yeah.
The Roughnecks.
The XFL, no. Right?
XFL legend,
yeah,
PJ Walker. That, damn, COVID really shut down that XFL and AFL. God damn it!
That's who San Francisco lost to. It was PJ Walker. Ah. Yeah. NFL shit. You guys have anything else you want to talk about NFL?
Yes. Well, King's team plays the Chargers this week. Where are you guys on Herbs right now? Did you watch any of that game?
Yeah, he wasn't good in the second
half. He wasn't very good.
He does have a broken finger.
Offhand.
I know.
But
you called it a flesh wound, right?
My thing with Herbert is, I've said it on here before, you give him a clean pocket, 1, 2, 3, the most beautiful quarterback in the league. I don't think he's good under pressure. And I don't know if, and like I've kind of danced around it. I think he's too tall. I know we joked about that, but like the first game against Miami, you watch that game on the last play, you saw the blitz and you went, oh shit, he's got no chance because he can't quick twitch out of it. He just has to get a long gate, and he got half a gate and was sacked. And that's just one play, but I still think he's top 10. And if he played in Miami, he'd be a lot better than he is right now. But some of the criticisms are warranted. I guess that's what I would say.
That's yeah. Cause I will say, you know, their offensive line is absolute dog shit.
Sure. And their defense stinks too, for the most part.
And really they don't have, I mean, you got an aged Keenan Allen's your real weapon. You draft a guy, Quentin Johnston, who can't even get on the field. That's how bad he is.
Did you see him get bullied on that pick?
Yeah. That's the kind of shit.
He just
And then you look at your Chiefs. It's like, oh, they just re-signed Mecole Hardman.
Traded for Mecole, yeah, baby.
And it's like, he's doing fine with absolute dog shit out there.
I don't know. I mean, she's doing, yeah, he's doing fine.
Yeah.
Bring back Mecole to save the offense.
He knows the playbook, baby. He knows the playbook. And Frank Clark is coming back this weekend. Oh baby.
But you do.
Neil Smith come back.
Herbs always plays them tough. That game's always a close game.
Always annoyingly, yes. Yeah. I've probably said it on here before, but Chiefs and Chargers is where I just don't log into Twitter. It's even more poisonous than Oregon versus Washington. Man, my timeline hates me during Kansas City and Charger. It's a rough sledding. So I will, at 1:15, I will log off. And when the Chiefs end the Chargers season about 3 hours later, I will just go LMFAO. You'll know what I mean. And I will leave it at that.
Booble says Herbert has the same limitations Peyton Manning had. Any pressure and he's fucked.
Yeah, and it's weird because he's way more athletic.
That was the same thing. I mean, you could say that about Tom Brady. Tom Brady would just go fetal position anytime. No,
but the thing is that Herbert is athletic, where those other two weren't. He just he's slow to get.
Does he not have fast twitch muscles?
No, he doesn't have fast twitch. That's a great way to put it. Is some of those like Justin Herbert, better than Kyler Murray. But some of these plays where Herbert just can't quite, a Kyler Murray is spinning out of him. Like, he sees it, he recognizes it, he's out before it's even a factor. And again, Herbert's better, but as an athletic guy, he's not as athletic as people think he is. Rocking arm. Probably looks great naked. You get pressure up the middle. Fast, I mean, he's toast.
When you see that lettuce he's got on his dome,
it's amazing. Jesus, it's amazing. It's beautiful.
That's a beautiful head of lettuce. Let's do something else. How about list? Let's do our list.
Should you do our list this week. Yeah. Play in Washington State at Autzen Stadium for the last time, maybe ever.
Win the day conference. For Crimson and Gray.
Yeah. Conference realignment is a contentious topic, so we are going to be nice this week to our Mountain West brethren in Pullman.
Yes.
Your top three fun, favorite, however you want to say it, Washington State University quarterbacks of all time.
Yes. Well, you're like our resident Coug, right? Why don't you go?
Yes.
Ahead? Yeah.
My number three, Chad Davis. Just a real gamer in the mid-90s.
How many wins did he get under his belt?
He beat the Ducks in 1994. Yep.
Not many people did that. I'm just saying.
No.
Chad Davis.
I don't know Hawaii did, too.
Well, yeah.
They went to the Rose Bowl, so that's
yeah, my bows. I mean, come on.
Of course.
All right. I'll go my number three. And I learned about this guy when doing research for this. Samoa. There was a Washington State quarterback named Samoa. That's his name. And he was good. He was a good quarterback. Looking up his
what years did he play?
Oh yeah, you know, it was wild when he played. Yeah. It was crazy times, man. You know those crazy
World War
times.
II was buzzing. Astoria was a war front in America at that point.
Yeah. You can go ahead, Ski. Go ahead, Ski. I don't want to hold you up.
Yeah. My number three QB is a Jason Guesser. Yeah. That guy got a lot out of just, I never thought he was that good, but man, does his numbers disagree with that?
He was from Hawaii. Did he go to St. Louis High School too?
I believe he did.
Yeah, man. Fantastic. Love Jason Guesser. Threes in the chat, Booble and WCP both say Alex Brink. Sheldon's own, right? Yeah. Number two?
My number two, Luke.
He froze. I love that we get one of these a podcast.
Oh yeah,
we gotta like start predicting when it's gonna happen too, because this is crazy. We're like minute 50 here.
A good run.
I'm pretty sure he was gonna say Luke Falk.
Saying Luke Falk. Yeah, yes,
I'm pretty sure he was gonna say Luke Falk. So I'll go ahead. I mean, he's gonna like just pop in like he has been and just be in the middle of a sentence. I'll go ahead and do my number two, and it's Gardner Minshew. Pew, pew, pew,
pew, pew. Well, whoa. I was going to put...
Whoa. Whoa. Listener of the podcast, I really wish you could see what's happening to King's video right now. It's like he's an AI. It's so good. Yeah, somebody please do the video of that. Oh, he's back. Are you back?
Yeah, I don't understand. It was, nothing is going on on my end.
It was so good, my guy. It was so good.
My number one, Jim Rosenbaugh, because he had three M's in his name.
What was your number two? Was it Luke Falk?
Yeah, Luke Falk.
You started saying Luke. It was like Luke. And then it was great.
Well, I'll go back to my... I was going to pick Minshew as my number two until this last week for the Colts. I had to drop him from my list. So my number two... Ryan Leaf, pretty good college quarterback.
Yeah, fun. Not the word I'd use for Ryan Leaf. Okay.
Anybody had fun times out and about.
I'm sure he did. Yeah, but he had a great time. Let's see. Booble says he doesn't have a two. He's skipping two to go to number one. WCP says his two is Ryan Leaf. And then did you guys... Yeah, you gave your one already. I'll give my one. My one is Jason Guesser. Love Jason Guesser.
Big Jason Guesser guy.
Absolutely. All right, what's yours?
Mine is a one that I loved him, but God, he ruined my life in the end. And that's Drew Bledsoe because he created Tom Brady.
Yeah, yeah.
And that's almost unforgivable.
Yeah, hard to argue with. Ones from the guys. Booble says Cam Ward's is number one. I like that, actually. He is fun. Actually, legitimately, he is very fun to watch. And then one for WCP is Minshew. So there you go. Nobody chose Mark Rippon. Huh. All right.
Hard hitman Mark Rippon?
Yeah, interesting. All right, let's do...
My outside looking in is Matt Kegel because people held up signs that says, do the Kegels. And Jeff Tool, because Jeff the Tool Man.
The Tool Man.
The Tool Man. All
right, let's do lines.
All right.
Lines
everywhere. Lines. I might be frozen. I don't know.
Well,
any lines.
I think this is the first lines. This week.
Lines.
King.
Lines.
Wins the week.
Whoa.
5-3. Braga, 4-4. I call bullshit on this. I didn't actually look at this. I'm just going by Booble. It says I was 2-6. I kind of call bullshit.
It might just be that you're terrible at picking games, Ski. I don't know.
These Big Ten games I'm picking are just hurting. So, and yet King and I are now tied. We're both chasing 3 points. So
that's right.
Be prepared for some great games I pick this week.
Booble says, can't do a Toolman Taylor joke and go right to the lines.
Yeah. Or can we?
Or can we? Ooh. Or is it the perfect segue?
All right. First game.
The world may never know.
Did he get busted with like a full key of blow.
Yeah, and then
wasn't like a large amount.
Yeah, he was like a whole narc as well. Yeah. Yeah.
That mustache though, I mean, that's a lot of blow had made its way into that mustache in the 80s. But first game, Utah, SC. SC, at least it's 7, but I dropped it to 6.5.
Boy, they screwed the pooch last week.
They're not good.
One of the ones I got wrong. Yeah, Notre Dame's also not good. So
you're not great either.
They should not have lost like that.
I'm going to go SC on kind of a backdoorish cover.
Like a late touch, or maybe they're up 3, they score 1 to go up 10, kind of thing.
Yeah, and then Utah can't go 85 yards. And
no, they definitely can't.
Yeah, it's a real thing.
I'm going to take Utah. Just this is the one team they might be able to score against. And that defense should be decent enough.
USC for me.
Utah's got a really good defense.
Yeah. All right, next one, we got UCLA going to Stanford.
Stanford!
UCLA, 16.5 point favorites. I'll start up. I'm going to take Stanford. I don't think UCLA is very good, and especially on the road. I mean, Stanford fucking stinks, but I think they're going to hang tough. Give me Stanford.
I'm also going to take Stanford with the points. It's like
40, I'm going to take 40. The Bruins. They got a top 15 defense. If Dante Moore can avoid a pick six in his fourth consecutive game, they definitely cover. But can he? That's the question.
All right. Next guy, we got ASU. They're going to Seattle. Seems like Washington plays every game at home. Huskies, 26.5 point favorites.
I got the Sun Devils with the points. I think it's like a come down thing for Washington. They're going to win like probably 21 or something, but I think the points Arizona State.
I'm actually with you on taking Arizona State, but I can't take an Arizona school, so I'm taking Washington.
Fair. Yep.
I'll break the tie. I believe there's a letdown look ahead type thing. It's game starting at 7:30 at night. Might be a little cold up in Seattle. Arizona State to cover.
Yeah, I mean, I'm right there with you guys. I don't think
they're good. Yeah. No, nope. But
they can lose by 24 points and still cover.
So. Yes.
Real quick.
All right.
Real quick. Yep. Booble has some receipts for you, by the way. You picked and failed on Colorado, Cal, Washington State, Maryland, Wisconsin, and Washington.
That was my thing. Say that's a lot.
He said, "Come." He also said, "Come at me, bro."
Imagine the Kings. Jeez, Colorado.
Right. This is rough.
I see a star pick for Braga on Colorado. That's always good.
Yeah, that's a good point. That's a good point. Touche.
Did I pick Stanford against Colorado?
You did.
Never a doubt. It was 29-0 the third quarter. Never a doubt.
Stanford.
All right. There's only 4 Pac-12 games this week. So the first one, you know, we're going back to the Big Ten, baby. The first one, I'll be nice. It's the big one. Penn State at Ohio State. Ohio State, 4.5 point favorites at home.
Penn State.
I'm taking Penn State as well. I don't like Penn State. I just don't think Ohio State's that good.
Well, give me the Buckeyes.
Chasing?
Kyle McCord's not good.
You doing some chasing? It sounded like you wanted to pick Penn State.
I did.
Yep.
I tried to get in before you did, and then you said it, and I was a little stunted, and then Ski went right in with Penn State. So
Penn State is my star pick.
Oh, God.
You're crazy, man.
Star picking against Ohio State. Genius.
I like you, man, but you're fucking crazy.
Yeah, I like you, man.
The next game, which I might actually say is the biggest game in the Big Ten this week, and that's Northwestern traveling to Nebraska. Brasky, 11.5 point favorites at home.
Is Corn a plant? A vegetable or a grain?
I'm going to say it's veggie.
I would say grain.
It's a grain. Lock up the Cornhuskers, baby.
It is a grain? You know this for a fact?
I know it for a fact. Yeah, it's a grain.
The way it grows, right? I mean, yeah. Okay.
There you go.
Only the facts here. All right. I mean, fuck.
Going against the grain, picking the Huskers to cover. And that's my star pick.
Oh, shit. I'm taking Nebraska. Just, you can't back Northwestern. You just can't.
I can't back Nebraska. What do you mean? Northwestern.
Right, pick Northwestern. Northwestern. Pick Northwestern.
Yeah.
All right,
big
last
Chicago
game.
Guy. Always have been.
Last game, Cougs, Ducks. Ducks, 20.5 point favorites.
Ducks.
Yeah, I'm taking Ducks star pick. This is the opposite of the Huskies. This is the angry bounce back game where they need to lay it on them.
Yeah, Oregon. I kind of don't want to. Just because Washington State games are always a shit show. Yeah.
If they weren't coming off just two terrible games.
Yeah.
Is if this was who they beat at home or the Beavs, if it was gonna, you know, coming off that Beav win, I might be a little worried, but not after these last 2 weeks.
Yep.
So that's the list. All right. That's the lines.
Let's do trivia and close this shit out. Let's see who won last time. Got it right here. It was King, 5-3. So King gets to go first.
Yeah, we already said. I mean, King is basically a Seattleite. I mean, lived there for like maybe a decade.
No, he's got the advantage 2 weeks in a row because he's our Coug insider too. So.
Oh yeah.
All right. Well,
go down to Washington. Do 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 do.
I mean, I might as well just forfeit at this point, right?
Yeah.
I mean, shit.
Yeah. These questions, I'll say, are mostly very easy this week. So heads up, you're gonna ace this one, like all of you, like both
the band.
Questions. Yeah, the band.
The band.
There's no the band questions in this one. King, Washington State has had one number one NFL draft pick. Who was it? Number one overall.
Jack Thompson.
Incorrect.
Oh.
Ski, your options. Jack Thompson, Drew Bledsoe, Ryan Leaf.
Bledsoe?
I totally forgot about Bledsoe.
Bledsoe's that's the correct bad. Answer.
Yep. Leaf went what, two?
Yeah. Behind Peyton Manning.
Yeah.
All right, Ski. Let's go to stats. Who is Washington State's all-time leader in passing yards and passing touchdowns?
Halliday?
Incorrect. Your options, King. Halliday, Alex Brink, or Luke Falk?
Luke Falk.
Luke Falk
of course,
is correct.
He's on his list.
I'm pretty sure I even said, oh, I think I was frozen then.
Luke Falk.
You might think you
I dropped those stats when I was frozen.
Did you? Luke Falk.
I did.
They are conference record stats, by the way. 14.
119
touchdowns, 14,481 yards is a lot of yards. All right, so this one goes to King now. What is the name of their mascot?
Butch T. Cougar.
Butch T. Cougar is correct. T, did you know that T means the?
I figured.
God forbid you say Butch the Cougar. Butch T. Cougar.
If I had said Butch or Butch the Cougar, would that have been incorrect?
I think Butch the Cougar, you might have gotten extra credit for it. You know my other options were Bill T. Cougar and Barry J. Cougar.
Barry J.
I really like
Barry J. would be
I really like the Barry J. one. All right, so King got that one. Ski, what is the name of their stadium?
Am I blanking on their fucking stadium name?
Yeah. I Come on, man. Dig deep. It's in there.
I'm trying to get it in there.
Yeah, King absolutely knows.
Butch T Stadium.
it's Barry J Stadium.
Barry J.
All right, King, do you even need options?
No, it's Martin Stadium.
It is Martin Stadium. Yes, it is. All right. Who is King? Who is their all-time leader in wins as a head coach?
Ooh. I'll say Mark. Oh God, no.
Ooh,
Mike Price.
Mike Price is incorrect.
Mark Price, hell of a guard.
Yeah, is it really Leach?
Yeah.
Is it really Leach?
Really good.
I'm going to say Leach.
All-time leader in wins as a head coach, Mike Price, Babe Hollingberry, or Mike Leach?
I'm gonna say Leach.
The answer is Babe Hollingberry. Yeah.
It's not even a person.
Did he coach for like 19 years? Is that what happened?
Yeah, it must have been like in the aughts or something.
Yeah. He was playing Puget Sound. Yeah, okay.
Yeah. So let's see. This one goes to Ski, right? Yes. Who is their leader in all-time leader in receptions, receiving yards, and receiving touchdowns? Booble said Nick Rolovich, by the way. That's good.
I don't know why I'm got a big hole in my brain for Washington State lore right now.
Bad timing going against the number
I know,
one
not a good
Coug
time.
Honk. Yeah.
I know.
I don't know this one.
I feel it's a white guy for some reason. I just can't remember the white guy's name, so I got nothing.
Nothing. No guess?
No, because I'm sure it's a white guy.
Think of one Washington State receiver and just name him.
I'm sure it's the white guy.
Yeah, all right. Well,
Craycraft.
Craycraft is a white guy. He is not the answer.
Yeah.
King, your options are Gabe Marks, Jason Hill, or Dom Williams.
What was the question again?
All-time leader in receptions, receiving yards, and receiving touchdowns.
Gabe Booble Marks?
Booble says Barry J. Receiver. Yeah. That's it is Gabe Marks. Yeah.
Okay.
Yep. All right, back to King. He's got four. Ski's got one. This running back holds their single-game rushing yards record with 357 against Oregon in the 80s. He is also their career rushing yards record holder. Who is it?
Oh, my God. I totally... God, this pisses me off. Can I get a half a point by saying which Washington State running back set a rushing record in the NFL? Because that was Jarrell Harrison. Shit. I know what you're talking about. I don't remember the name, though. I'm going to say Ruben something. Ruben Mays.
That is the correct answer.
What a fucking pull. What a pull.
He is. He's panic celebrating over here.
Oh, yeah. I mean, when you're number one Husky fan, I mean, that's what you do.
Number one Husky fan and Coug fan. Man, he owns the state of Washington. All right, that's a win. It's a win for King, so I'll just give you the extra ones here. I loved from last week the first bowl win question, so I'm going to do that again. The Cougs' first bowl win came in 1915 against Brown. They won 14-0. It was played in front of 7,000 people in Tournament Park in Pasadena. What's the name of the bowl?
The Tournament of Roses game.
It is just the Rose Bowl. Yeah.
Oh, I thought there was going to be a little.
Yeah, twist. Yeah. No. Right. Nope. Let's see. Alumni. So we all know Dolph Lundgren was a Coug for a while. This comic strip maker was as well. Basically the same thing. He is the artist behind Farside. What's that person's name? Farside.
Jim Davis.
Carl Schultz.
Gary Larson. Yeah.
Gare Bear.
Yeah, yeah. Jim Davis was one of my options, though.
Is he Garfield?
Yes.
I think, yeah.
Yep.
Odie. Yeah. What a Nurmal. The silly dog.
Nurmal.
Fucking Nurmal. What a name.
And then Washington State has had one player finish in the top three of the Heisman voting. Who is it?
Ryan Leaf.
Ryan Leaf.
Is correct. Yep. Not Bledsoe. He must have been bad. Yeah, and that's it. Okay.
I don't think those Cougars are very good.
Yeah, it's very possible. All right, so Sunday, the movie is Renfield. Watch it on Prime. Listen to us talk about it. It's Cage playing Dracula. Might as well. Thank you for watching. Thank you for listening. We will see you guys then. Bye.